VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 351, recorded on May 21st, 2014.
Hello, and welcome to the 351st edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 184th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
I am Jordan Lund.
I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and includes gaming history.
That's right. And like I said last week, we're going to start recording on Wednesdays now, so... Usually the podcast will either come out on Thursday or Friday. This time it came out on Friday. So for those of you wondering when you have to write in, well, there you go. You have to write in before Wednesday.
Which is great because it gives you the whole weekend to listen to a brand new episode.
And this weekend is actually a longer weekend because you have Memorial Day.
Woohoo, Memorial Day!
Yeah. So what have you been playing, Paul?
Would you believe that I am once again completely out of content on Kitchen Scramble?
No.
I thought you were out of content before.
Well, they added a new location, and that was, like, I want to say another 20 boards or so, okay. And I've done that now. So. I've also been playing the Find Paul a Job game.
That's a pretty important game.
Is there no endless
that's
mode?
That's an awesome game.
In which
endless
keep,
mode for what?
Well, like, you have something in which you keep, see how far you can go before you fail.
In Finding Paul a Job? Clearly.
No, in Kitchen Scramble.
Oh, no, because each board has its own eligible recipes.
Okay, but, you know, it just sort of, like, keeps on putting the heat up a little bit more until, you know... Oh, well.
Yeah, there are boards in that, which is basically you lose X number of customers and their demands just get more and more ridiculous.
Yeah. Kind of like life.
Yeah, how about you, Jordan?
I've been on and off playing the Borderlands Game of the Year edition, but mostly we've been playing another real life game, and that is Get Alan Out of High School.
Yeah.
He's down to his last 9 days, which is why I'm recording the podcast late. I had to get him to his last concert of the year.
What does the concert have to do with anything?
He's a performer.
Oh, okay. As for me, I downloaded the iPad version of the board game Ghost Stories. It's a co-op game, which is extremely difficult. So far, the best score I've managed to get is negative 21.
I've also been playing...
The best score is negative 21. Yeah. I'm confused.
Well, you're supposed to get a positive score by winning the game, but I haven't done that. The closest I've come is negative 21 points.
I see.
Well, I just figure it's better to let him ramble when he doesn't make sense.
Go ahead, Paul.
I yesterday had a fantastic opportunity to play Cashflow 101.
Okay.
It was awesome.
Which is
a board game.
Oh, okay. And
yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I do have a new board game, which I think Paul would really enjoy. It's called Drag Ball. It was Kickstartered. And basically, without, you know, infringing on any trademarks, you're basically a contestant on Drag Race, and you're trying to win. And each of the drag queens, and they're customized drag queens too, right, with different names. And, you know, you get to do shades and outfits and all that stuff. But the drag queens themselves are pretty hilarious, you know, as one might expect. They're all rated. They have four ratings. They have tenacity, wit, aesthetics, and tricks. So you have these drag queens like La Tigra, Shakita Del Fuego, Moesha Cosby, Ginny Tonic. So, I promised to give Paul a, what's it called? Get Paul a gander. I know the guy who developed the board game. We'll see if we can get Paul a copy so that he can check it out for himself.
Yeah, sure. At the moment, you've only really mentioned narrative elements as opposed to any gameplay mechanics, so I have to say you really haven't done that great a job of, you know...
Well, I can only really... You know, the gameplay mechanics are just facing off... You know, the game... It's hard to describe them on the thing. just that the goal is to win.
This is why you're not a game designer.
Well, anyways.
I'm just saying.
Well, when you have a copy of your own, you'll see.
Okay, I'll happily do that for you.
Anyway.
One of those games you have to play.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to move on to the first item. You can take this, Jordan.
Apple refuses to allow an educational app on female stimulation. This comes to us from Games Industry Biz. A friendly cartoon vulva called Happy has the dubious honor of being the latest app Apple has rejected from its app store, joining the ranks of Little Loud, Sweatshop, and Aurex Digital Endgame Syria. As the star of Happy Playtime, gamers touch her as instructed to make her happy, learning how to please her through their own bodies in the process. Think educational and empowering rather than RedTube. Quote, I admit it's pretty far out there. You're using your touchscreen to play with a vulva character to make her orgasm, says creator Tina Gong, who's currently battling to get the game accepted by Apple. Apple rejected the app and Gong appealed, raising the age rating to 17 plus. The app was then rejected a second time on two violations of its rules, quote, apps that present excessively objectionable content and, quote, apps containing pornographic material. Odd since Happy is a smiling cartoon face. It's aimed at women and comes complete with information to educate users about female masturbation and to remove the stigma surrounding the topic. Male masturbation is accepted, joked about on suppertime television, and normalized. Female masturbation is still mainly consigned to edgy stand-up routines and porn, and neither of those mediums are exactly instructional. According to Gong, quote, my guess is that Apple might have understood the purpose of it being educational and that it was built with a mission, but wants to force me to strip out all the things that make the game what it is, and I can't accept that. For the moment, the browser version is still in testing, and Gong hasn't given up on the iOS version.
Yeah, I might add that there are some apps on the Apple that one is male gaze or something like that, in which you're trying to stare at a woman's breasts without getting noticed. You know, so there's a bit of hypocrisy going on here.
Oh, of course there is. It's video games.
Yeah, but, you know, there's also another app. Remember Chubby Checker, which was supposed to determine how big your wang is? You know, so it's just, I don't know. If you've seen the game, you know, the character is hardly pornographic at all.
Well, I mean, it comes back down to, you know, a similar situation with Nintendo where it's a proprietary platform and they ultimately have exclusive control about what goes on it.
Yeah, but you see,
so they're going to push their own. They're going to push their own social agenda.
But I don't mind that if they were a little more consistent. Because there's worse things than that on the Apple, iOS. You know, it just, you know, if you're good, you ever see the movie, This Film Has Not Yet Been Rated?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, definitely. If you recall, a woman experiencing an orgasm, you don't see anything.
Other than her
experiencing
face.
It was,
right.
was considered pornographic and had to be cut from the film.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely, and it's the continued sexual shaming of women and by extension gay men that really kind of gets under my skin in issues like this, because you know what, we say that it's fine for a straight man to go out and conquer as many women as he wants to sexually, even up to the point of unwillingness in many media, but it's not okay for a female to enjoy or want sex.
And you know,
it's just shit like that just pisses me off.
I must bring, you know, in case what's called wasn't clear, that the person who developed this app is a female. So
Tina Gong, yes.
I applaud Miss Gong, and I hope that she takes it to Kickstarter or something.
Well, she is making a browser version. How about you, Jordan?
I'm going to take a contrarian opinion. I don't think that women are as marginalized when it comes to masturbation as this article makes it sound, in that, you know, the idea of women shopping for vibrators and women shopping for other things to pleasure themselves with is not only accepted, but it's turned into a home industry, right? Where you have sex toy parties,
Jordan,
and all of this stuff.
What do those sex toys have in common? They're phallic.
They are phallic.
This sort of thing has nothing to do with phallic. And
well,
that might
it has
be the
nothing
issue.
To do with phallic, and that could be part of the issue. But the idea of saying that you know, women masturbating is considered to be marginalized, where they can talk about men masturbating on television. When they talk about men masturbating on television, they're talking about it in derogatory terms. They're not talking about it in sex-positive
oh, really?
Terms.
You missed
Absolutely.
That Seinfeld episode about Master of the House.
Absolutely. And you look at what a loser Kramer is because he was out in 5 minutes, right? That's the big laugh. He's out in 5 minutes. He's done.
I've seen, just to jump in on that episode before it veers away, before the topic changes, if you noticed, Elaine was shown as getting stupider
the longer she went without it. I don't remember right. That part, but I haven't seen it in years. But what I'm saying is that when they talk about masturbation, when they talk about masturbation for women, it is empowering. It is taking matters into your own hands. Literally, when they talk about male masturbation, he's a loser. He's living in his mom's basement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So I don't think the comparison they're making in this article is completely fair.
That's not true. It's absolutely true,
Jonah. If you would like, I would be happy to cite sources, but it is absolutely true.
Out of sight, out of mind. This is something that is simply, quote-unquote, not discussed, which is probably why it's considered, quote-unquote, empowering, because just saying it, is something taboo.
It's not taboo. Well, it's not taboo in this town. People talk about female masturbation all the time.
Wow. that is some town you have there, Jordan.
Welcome to Port.
I think aside from the specific issue of female masturbation, it goes to highlight, things getting blocked like this goes to highlight the proprietary chokehold that Apple has over its platform. But aside from Apple specifically, that all platform manufacturers have. So really, we need to start looking into companies' personal political and socioeconomic agendas before we become such diehard fans of their product.
I'm wondering if
Apple has had a history of this kind of prudish behavior before. Remember, they blocked a newsreader, an ebook reader, because the ebook reader had the temerity to include a copy of the Kama Sutra with it. Oh. And that ebook reader could be used for prurient interest, and it was banned for the exact same reason.
Well, that's blaming paper for pornography.
It's like blaming paper for pornography, exactly. But that doesn't stop Apple from doing it.
Well, no, it's more like blaming a particular publisher for not wanting to publish a book about a woman with breast cancer who lost her breast, which was a book that Apple specifically refused to allow into iTunes.
Yeah, that's correct. And there have been issues with a particular comic book called Saga, where the digital version that showed not full frontal, but mostly fully nude sex between a heterosexual couple was perfectly okay in the digital store. But the next issue, which showed oral sex, male-male, was completely forbidden.
It just infuriates me because people don't realize how much of a problem censorship is.
It's a huge problem, and my issue with Apple goes beyond the censorship topic. Apple, for decades, has had the attitude that we know better than you do, we're going to control everything, and if you don't like it, don't buy our product, and they've been that way since the very beginning. This is nothing new for Apple. It's new that now we're getting into sexual hot-button issues, but this attitude from Apple has been from the very beginning.
And, it's bordering into another topic, which is also that of internet neutrality. And it's the same kind of thing. Nobody really should be able to stream the content, to censor out the content that I, as an adult, want to experience.
Well, I think that's more of a case of limit the bandwidth, I think it is, rather than actual censorship.
Yeah, but
it's censorship, but I'm just saying it's not actual censorship.
They're limiting the bandwidth to zero, right?
Yeah, limiting the bandwidth based on what other companies have given them an additional fee for. But that's not the only reason they could limit your access to a particular website if net neutrality dies. It could be anything that we as Time Warner don't agree with.
Fortunately, Netflix does not want that to go past, because they want to have the fat pipe no matter what. Getting back to the original article, I'm wondering if she's attempted to do this on Android, and I wonder if what Google would say.
Oh, please, dear God, I hope she does. Because you want to know something, though? It's not just women that need to be taught this particular skill. I hear a few men might need to hear about it, too.
Yeah, I mean, that was the third. I thought when she said it was an instructional manual for women, I was a little bit surprised. I thought this was supposed to be something for men.
Well, I mean, I guess if you just, you know, turn the phone upside down, then you have a man's perspective.
You know, but the thing is that she is working on a browser-based version. But like I said, I wonder what Google's policies are. I know.
I don't know what Google's policies are. I mean, I've seen – I can't imagine that they would ban it out of the Android store or anything like that. And then there's always the Windows store as well. I went and looked at the site, and it is a cute cartoonified version of female lady parts. What do you expect?
And you have to squint, really, and you say, oh, I see, until it actually points it out. Until then, it looks like a normal fairy princess, basically.
I can recognize
the parts, but on first glance, it looks like a fairy princess with a little heart for a mouth.
All right, Jonah, I don't know what fairy princesses you've been looking at, but I'm just saying.
You haven't seen this. I wouldn't go that far.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Paul.
ZeniMax announces lawsuit against Oculus, and this comes to us from Rock, Paper, Shotgun. Ooh.
Blam.
RPS.
ZeniMax is suing virtual reality kingpin and recent Facebook acquisition Oculus Rift for, quote, illegally misappropriating ZeniMax trade secrets relating to virtual reality technology, end quote. According to the suit filed, quote, ZeniMax Media Inc. And its subsidiary ID Software LLC filed suit today. ID Software LLC filed suit today against Oculus VR Inc. And its founder, Palmer Luckey.
Luckey. I love that name. Palmer Luckey. Doesn't it sound like a gambler from some Western?
Sounds like a masturbation video game for men.
Okay.
Oh, there's a
this,
theme
this,
in the podcast.
This podcast has been rated
podcast
R.
Podcast with a theme. Anyway, they're being sued for illegally misappropriating ZeniMax trade secrets revealing to virtual reality technology and infringing on ZeniMax copyrights and trademarks. I swear I just read this copy. ZeniMax is also asserting claims for its breach of contract, unjust enrichment, and unfair competition against the defendants. The lawsuit was filed in federal court in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas. The filing concludes all efforts by ZeniMax to resolve this matter amicably have been unsuccessful. Oculus has recently issued a public statement remarkably claiming that, quote, ZeniMax never contributed IP or technology to Oculus. That's not how you spell that word. That's my problem. That Luckey has held himself out of the public as the visionary developer of virtual reality technology, when in fact the key technology Luckey used to establish Oculus was developed by ZeniMax. ZeniMax also sent over its court documents, which paint a picture of a timeline. How are we doing well? Which paint a picture of a timeline in which John Carmack became interested in Rift pre-Kickstarter, and he and other ZeniMax employees provided the important technological information to Palmer Luckey both before and after the crowdfunding drive. ZeniMax also apparently modified the Rift in the lead-up to the release of Doom 3 BFG Edition, which ZeniMax claims, quote, represented an enormous technological advance in the development of virtual reality entertainment. Apparently, Oculus and ZeniMax spent 2012 and 2013 discussing how Oculus would compensate ZeniMax for the modified VR tech, but then Oculus found financial backing and talks with ZeniMax ceased. ZeniMax also takes credit for the popularity of the Rift by way of showcases and events like E3, which it arranges and promoted. In response, Oculus issued a statement of complete denial. Quote, the lawsuit filed by ZeniMax has no merit whatsoever, and we have previously said ZeniMax did not contribute to any Oculus technology. Oculus will defend these claims vigorously.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Well, I did some reading on this, and Oculus's claims are that they provided code to ZeniMax's claims are that they provided code to Oculus to get this up off the ground and get it up and running. In response, Oculus is stating that there's absolutely not one line of ZeniMax code in any of their stuff.
But the thing is that I know for a fact that ZeniMax promoted Oculus and they also, you know, made a big deal about making their games, and they had John Carmack working with them and all of that. So where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah, there's definitely something to be said for, you know, getting things like Doom BFG edition up and running on it. And I'm sure there had to have been some collaboration between the two companies to make that happen. That's not just going to happen on its own. So there's got to be something going on here. What it is, I guess we'll have to wait for the court case to find out.
Well, the key is if ZeniMax had nothing to do with the Oculus Rift, then why did they spend 2 years haggling about compensation for ZeniFax?
Yeah.
Everybody pay attention, because I don't say this often, but I completely agree with Jonah in this case. If there wasn't a leg to stand on, then there wouldn't have been 2 years of negotiations.
Correct. My opinion is the reason for the lawsuit filing is they got bought by Facebook and now there's deep pockets, and that's why they filed the lawsuit.
Well, according to ZeniMax, they just said, "Oh, we got our money, so we don't need you anymore. Bye."
Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, I don't know, but it'll be interesting, because in a way, you know, ZeniMax is actually suing Facebook, you know. Facebook is the one with, quote unquote, the deep pockets. And of course, actually, Oculus is a part of Facebook now.
Right.
So I think this is going to be a story we're going to be reporting on in like 6 months. And there's going to be some interesting.
We'll probably have something to work with at that point.
My prediction is that they're going to settle.
Yeah.
Just to make
Facebook,
it go away.
Facebook will pay out just to make it go away, which will make perfect sense.
Okay, I mean, I know if I was Facebook, I wouldn't want this whole thing being dragged out and, you know, making Oculus a giant joke.
Well, yeah, there's that. And you don't want to spend $1 billion on a company and have something like this hanging over your head, right?
Yeah. And you know, sometimes it's just cheaper to pay them and make them go away.
Right.
And also, you know, ZeniMax is a software company, and, you know, Oculus and Facebook are going to want to have games that right. utilize the Oculus Rift. Good games.
Yeah. If the Oculus Rift comes out and there isn't, say, an Elder Scrolls title for it, meh.
Or even Doom 4 or Doom 5 or whatever new first-person shooter
whatever
they
make
for it.
Yep. Speaking of new games and id properties and stuff like that, have you guys seen any of the reviews on the new Wolfenstein game? I saw it at the store today and I have not yet picked it up.
They have been actually surprisingly good. You know, I mean, not you know, raving, but it's a competent game. And also has a really weird storyline, you know, with the Nazis in the 60s, you know, and having tech and all that stuff, you know. And you remember the one of the promotions for it had the Nazi flag on the moon. You remember that?
Right.
Ooh, German localization of that title is going to be fun.
Good luck.
Well, you know what they might do is they might just replace it with the Iron Cross. I mean, that's what they do whenever they deal with the Nazis. They just remove references to the Nazis, put an Iron Cross there, and boom, you're good to go.
Cut the little arms off the swastika and be done with it.
Pretty much, but I think that I think that it might bear a little extra scrutiny, since that's, you know, what Castle Wolfenstein is historically about. If I were a German official in charge of regarding, you know, taking a look at that, I might make them jump through a few extra hoops.
You know, Germany is starting to loosen up on the entire Nazi thing, though, because, you know, time heals wounds, you know, and they haven't really let up on it, but, you know, they have started showing films like The Producers and other stuff like that.
Well, to be fair, you know,
I think they also actually allowed for the first time in 20 years the original Castle Wolfenstein, not the first shooter, you know, not because every time I think of Castle Wolfenstein, I think about that little top down black and white shooter with digitized speech.
I don't know. Saying that Germany is relaxing on the whole anti-Nazi thing is like saying that like
they're
America
relaxing.
Is relaxing
they're,
on the gay marriage
just,
thing.
They're starting to, you know.
I was making a point.
Yeah. We're going to move on to the next item. Sony may be working on newer PS4/PS3 models, and this comes to us from VG247. Sony has registered two PlayStation models with the Indonesian Ministry of Communications, indicating that a hardware revision could be on the way. The first listing on a website related to the Indonesian Ministry of Communications shows the model number CUH1106A. The Asian PS4 model's name is CUH1006A. And as DualShocker suggests, This could indicate a new revision of some sorts of the PS4 model, not a completely new model like the older Slim to the original PS3. DualShockers, also, as this might not be a model with a bigger hard drive, as the hard drive is indicated by the last letter, which is unchanged. The second is a PS3 listing with the model name CECH4306CH, which seems to have the following model number of the Super Slim model, CECH4001A, indicating that a revision of the Super Slim is also in the cards. Jordan?
Oh, that would make sense. I mean, even with the original PlayStation, which I just figured out was 19 years ago, which depresses me somewhat a little bit. But every time they did a motherboard revision, there was a change in the model number. So all this means is that at a minimum, it's a motherboard revision. It's probably making it cheaper for them to manufacture. And that's really all there is to it. But because there's a new motherboard, they have to give it a new model number. It has to go through electronic certification, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Paul?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what this particular news piece is trying to tell us. I mean, it's not really, you know, it's not really all that clear what they're speculating at here.
You know, but here's the thing, Jordan. If you remember, every time they came out with a new PS3, they took something out.
That's true. They did remove features on the PS3. That's correct.
So you have to wonder.
And even on the original PlayStation, they removed features as well. You know, I have one of the original 1995 PlayStation 1s that has the full red, white, yellow audio video connector on the back. That was one of the first things they changed and replaced with what we now consider to be a standard plug with a breakout cable going to your video. So, you know, who knows what they're planning on changing on the motherboard besides, you know, just coming up with a less expensive version.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Jordan.
PS4 game preloading will begin with Destiny. This comes to us from videogamer.com. PS4 game preloading for purchases on the PlayStation Store will begin with Activision and Bungie's Destiny, Sony has confirmed. When preloading was announced back in April as part of the 1.7 PS4 update, many assumed the feature would be supported by high-profile titles such as Wolfenstein and Watch Dogs, but this isn't the case. An updated PlayStation support page states, quote, "Beginning with Destiny, certain pre-ordered titles can be automatically preloaded prior to their release. This lets you rest easy knowing that your game will be ready for play the second its release date hits." The page also notes that, quote, "Only titles designated as having preload functionality at the time of pre-order purchase can be preloaded." Sony support told DualShockers that Ubisoft doesn't support preloading, hence why Watch Dogs does not offer that option.
So, I hope there's a feature in the Xbox One, sort of, because it's nice to have preloading. You know, that's what happened with Half-Life 2. Was that 2 weeks before, you know, it came, I preloaded, and it just had to wait for the release, you know? Jordan?
I would rather buy a physical copy.
Really? Well, isn't there going to be there's probably going to be installation anyway and downloading.
I expect there will be installation and downloading anyway, but if I have the game in my hand, I can put that game in and I can play it, and I don't have to worry about relying on some server somewhere to tell me whether I can or cannot play the game.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of tend to agree with Jordan when it comes to that. Like, I know that I'm always going to want a physical, you know, Zelda copy in my hand whenever the next one comes out. But I could see it being an interesting kind of, you know, distribution model for players who are perhaps less nostalgic for physical games.
And there have been problems with preloading. For example, there have been games where the release date has been broken and the physical copies are out in the wild and the distributor goes, okay, fine, go ahead and sell them. Oh, you pre-ordered and you preloaded? Yeah, sorry, you don't get to play it for another couple of days yet.
Well, you know, actually, I know of certain instances which they just relax it and just say, okay, fine, if they're out, they're out. Everybody just jump on in. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you never really want to kill the early, you know, the early buzz of your game release.
Yeah. So I know that Jordan, this is your must-have game for the next gen.
Destiny is a must-have game for the next gen. Yes.
So you know, the thing is that I did not mention this before, but we all know that I'm going to E3, right? But I've also been invited to do Microsoft's press briefing, so it's going to be interesting to see what, you know, what they have and what announcements they make. You know that Sony's tried to claim Destiny as its own. It's coming out for Xbox One and other platforms. You wouldn't know it you know, because Sony's been out in front on all promotion of it.
Right, and then the folks that have pre-ordered it, as I have, will be getting access to the beta on the PlayStation 4. So over the summer, all you're going to be hearing about is all the PlayStation 4 people playing Destiny.
The other thing is that people are a little upset that Ubisoft's not doing it with Watch Dogs.
That's true. And, you know, I don't know. Does Ubisoft support that on
no,
Steam?
No, apparently they don't like to do preloading.
You'd think they would because it takes the strain off the servers instead of having everything happen all at the same day.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on to the next item. This is you, Paul.
External storage, real names, and more coming with Xbox One system update in June. And this comes to us from Major Nelson. With the next system update coming in June, Microsoft has announced two of the most requested features will be added in June. External storage support and real names for identifying your friends. The Xbox One system will soon support up to two external hard drives at once. Simply plug in a 256.
Come on. It's a number.
You know, I would like to take a pause to discuss anti-dyslexic bullying.
I'm not. You're dyslexic?
I'm just you know, sharing a little thought there that we should not make fun of people.
I'm not
just
making
because,
fun of you. I just.
Just because numbers jump around when we look at them, it's not my fault they don't stay still. Hmm. I mean, I'm not dyslexic. I'm just. Clearly can't read and can speak at the same time.
But don't
but
say
still,
that
you shouldn't make fun
not.
Of that. You shouldn't make fun of people for that.
Okay,
getting back to what I was saying. Simply plug in a 256 gig or larger USB 3 external hard drive, and once formatted, copy, move games, apps, and game add-ons to increase the storage capacity at home. This also is a great way to take content to a friend's house and get straight into a game directly from an external drive. Players will need to sign in to Xbox Live if they've purchased their content digitally or insert a disc to verify game ownership when taking your content on the road. Other updates include having one guide experience and universal remote control added to smart glass and automatic sign in to Live.
So... Jordan, this is something that you've been interested in having, you know, external hard drives on next gen systems.
Right. This is something that needed to happen with the Xbox 360, and you know, I'm thrilled to see this happen for two reasons. Reason number one is that it's way seriously long overdue, particularly with all of the file installations and stuff that they're asking people to do. The second reason that I'm very happy to see this is taking Microsoft in a leadership direction for this generation, and it's the first time they've actually taken point on something. Previously, they've been backtracking on all their bad decisions. They've been copying the decisions Sony has made. This is the first positive step Microsoft has made in actively moving something forward.
And one thing that we have to note is that one thing that you always complained about with the Xbox 360 was the dollar to gigabyte ratio of hard drives on that system. And now you can get the hard drive that you want at the price that you want and just plug it in.
Yeah, as long as it's USB 3, which shouldn't be a problem, although I've never heard of a USB 3 drive as small as 256 gigabytes.
Well,
I guess in theory they
there.
Exist,
I mean,
but yeah. Being able to plug in 2 3-terabyte drives and have 6 terabytes plugged into your Xbox One, I think that's a fantastic idea.
It's also a way to get what they had promised at E3 when the Xbox was always online, and that is to carry around your games, you know, digitally and bring them to your friend's house and play them there. You know,
now,
so long as you have your live login.
The one piece that's missing here is the ability to do a full install to the hard drive. I haven't seen that yet on the Xbox One the way there was on the Xbox 360.
I think this may open the door for that.
Yeah. They need to be able to, just like on the Xbox 360, press a button, have an option to do a full install straight to the hard drive, and then, you know, you have the disk in for recognition, but you're really playing the game from the hard drive.
Also, you know, I wonder if it'll allow you to play media content from your hard drive.
I don't know. It would be nice.
Yeah. Paul?
You know, back in my day, we used to have these cartridge thingies that that, you know, saved all of your data right on it. And so when you wanted to take it to a friend's house, you just had to remember to bring your copy of the disc or the cartridge or whatever. And, you know, that was really easy. Like, I was like five when we used to do that. And it was so simple.
Didn't
and,
it have
you know,
one of those batteries in it that would run out after 5 years, though?
No, the original Zelda disc still works. Yeah, my original copy of Zelda still works.
Yeah, but can you? Does it save? Does it save a
yeah.
battery? Then what
yeah,
is the battery fine. For then? The gold card said this is a battery that lasts for 5 years. I mean, what good was that? What good was the battery then for?
Because the battery lasts longer than 5 years. They made
Apparently.
It better than they thought they did. But you know, and you know, there's all sorts of fantastic advances that, you know, disk-based systems let us do. But unfortunately, there is a trade-off there in that, you know, being able to take your game data to your friend's house, it just isn't as easy as it used to be. And I think we're going to be at a loss until we figure out a way to make it that easy again.
Well, you know,
because
these external hard drives are pretty small. I mean, it's
well, I mean, we had the whole memory card thing where you just take the disk and your memory card and you're good to go.
But it's like there's like 9 different kinds of downloading and all this other shit I have to remember. And like, come on, can't they just make it easy on me? My Zelda game files are on my Zelda cartridge. Come on.
You know, one of the things that
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't tried it on the Xbox One, but I know on the previous generation machines, you could plug in a USB drive and put your save games on the USB drive.
But wasn't there this thing, both when the Xbox One and the PS4 were coming out, that said, no, sorry, no external drives this right now?
I do recall that on both of them, and I don't recall exactly the reason why. I think it was the usual mealy-mouthed, we're planning on it, we don't have it
ready
to go yet.
Well, it's probably the same reason why you can't play
blah,
your
blah,
CDs
blah.
In the DRAM drive.
Or be able to stream media, yeah.
But the reason why I bring it up is then why would you be able to save your content on a you know on a USB thumb drive or something, you know? I just you know I hope.
Well, now the gag is that you save all your stuff in the cloud and then you just sign in with your profile on the other machine and all of your cloud saves are there. I mean that's
see now that's slightly more tolerable. I just question how they back up my data.
Right.
So we're going to move on to the next item, and this is me. Blizzard is suing StarCraft II hackers for profiting off mods, and this comes to us from Eurogamer. Blizzard is suing a collective of hackers for messing with and profiting off of a StarCraft II via user-made mods. The primary targets are those behind the quote-unquote Valiant Chaos map pack, a mod that gives players an unfair advantage in the game that's been frequently sold for $62.50 a pop. Wow, that's a lot of money. The developer
that's
accused
more
hackers.
More than the game.
What?
That's more than the game.
No. Well, you know, the price of winning, you know. The developer accused the hackers of, quote, insidious and harmful practice of developing, distributing, and selling software products, sometimes referred to hacks or cheats, that modify or alter the online multiplayer component of the Blizzard's computer games to give their users an unfair competitive advantage against other players. Blizzard explained in its complaint as discovered by Torrent Freak. The harm to Blizzard from defendants' conduct is immediate, massive, and irreparable. By distributing the hacks to the public, the defendants irreparably harm the ability of Blizzard's legitimate customers, i.e. those who purchase and use the unmodified games, to enjoy and participate in the competitive online experience of StarCraft II. In other words, it makes the game less fun for honest, non-cheating folks. Blizzard noted the practice that causes gamers to grow dissatisfied with the game, lose interest in the game, and communicate that dissatisfaction. This results in lost sales of the games and or add-on packs and the expansions here too, as well as harm Blizzard's reputation in the value of the game. I will say, because if someone's cheating, I don't want to play the game. You know, it's like, I'm not cheating. I don't want to play. It's one of the reasons why I don't play Counter-Strike, because all that game now has is hacks and mods and all that stuff. So, Jordan?
I think the old saying is best here. The right to swing your fist ends at the tip of the other person's nose. If you have a game, you're more than welcome to hack it and modify it however you want. But when you start interfering with somebody else's online experience, your right to modify that game is ended.
I like that saying, Jordan. I'm going to adopt that. But yeah, I mean, I completely support Blizzard for suing these guys. I mean, don't as someone who doesn't feel the need to go out and spend, you know, another 125% of the game just to get, you know, a competitive advantage. I mean, I don't like to play against people anyway. But you know, why wouldn't they sue over that? I wouldn't want to deal with that nonsense.
You know,
as a game player,
I don't know. It's
shenanigans.
To me, it's just
baloney.
It's just a weakness of character to me that you have to cheat in order to win. I mean, you're not going to win any competitions. They're not going to allow you to play with any hacks and mods. I mean,
well,
you're getting your rocks off just by winning, by cheating.
Well, I mean, here's funny,
what would be funny is if they played some Koreans and lost anyway.
Well, my problem with online playing is that they got these damn 16-year-olds with much faster reflexes than me.
Oh, doesn't that suck?
Well, oh my god, I hate that.
What about playing turn-based games then?
Yeah, that's better.
Before we move on to listener feedback, two things. One, Watch Dogs is coming out in a couple of days. But like I said, I cannot believe that game is coming out. I thought it would be like at the end of the year or beginning of 2015. Jordan, you know, are you a little bit not ready for Watch Dogs?
No, I think it, you know, it's overdue. We'll see what it looks like when it comes out.
I'm a little bit nervous because of some of the bad feedback coming.
I won't believe it until I have a copy in my hand.
Well, there's already one person who got an early copy, and he's been streaming videos on Twitch on the PlayStation 4, and he's on the verge of having his Twitch account pulled. So it's definitely out there.
I refuse to watch. I'm not, you know.
Videos can be faked.
That reminds me of Halo 3 when they released the ending on YouTube. I refuse to watch it because I wanted the ending to be fresh for me.
I still haven't finished Halo 4. I need to sit down and do that one of these days.
The other game,
I still haven't finished the last Bioshock game.
I haven't finished the second part of Burial at Sea, actually.
Wow, that is totally not what I was hearing you say.
What?
I think I still have leftovers from the vagina conversation early in the podcast.
Come on. The other game that's coming out is actually a major game for the Wii U, and it is Mario Kart 8. So.
Woohoo, Mario Kart 8. I mean, not my thing, but I'm always glad to see these things back in the marketplace.
I thought you were actually excited for the game itself.
No, I mean, I haven't played a Mario Kart in decades.
Well, from what I hear, it's the best game on the Wii U.
And that's exactly why I'm excited about it. Speaking of Nintendo, they announced that competitive internet play, they announced that they're ending support for both the Wii and the DS for player-to-player interactions for any game that supports it.
But you know what? They also
your Pokemons, your Animal Crossings. Wait, you know, got upgrade.
Well, don't those games just go peer to peer? I mean, are you not going to be allowed? I mean, it's like it's just a Wi-Fi connection between two DSs. No,
they're ending Wi-Fi.
How
support? They're ending Wi-Fi support.
How? It's a hardware. It's hardware. I don't get it. How is it? And, you know, like I said, they just.
They're turning it off. I have no idea how these things work.
They're turning off the friend code support. So if you are trying to connect with a friend, however you're trying to connect with the friend, it's not going to work.
But you can still use the little cable, right? I mean.
There aren't any cable-to-cable connectors on the modern machines.
On the original DS? Are you sure?
No, the DS is all wireless.
Yeah, dude, they haven't had that since the Game Boy.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, I know. It's a little sad. It's the ending of a hardware support.
But, you know, they did... from what I'm reading from the reviews of Mario Kart 8, is that they got the online perfect.
Fantastic.
So Nintendo actually got it right there. So we're going to move on to listener feedback. Take it away, Jordan.
I wasn't ready for that. Listener feedback from Paulo Predke. Hey guys, I just finished reading Racing the Beam, a semi-technical, semi-historical book on the Atari VCS, and I'm currently reading The Ultimate History of Video Games, so your gaming history segment was timed perfectly. I never had the Atari VCS, but I did have the Atari 800 XL machine, and I did play most of the classic games. Star Raiders was freaking awesome on the 800. It is certainly one of the most important companies in the history of video gaming, and is a really fun and interesting story to read and listen about.
By the way, that 8-bit computer was the one that my school had.
Nice.
But I owned a Commodore 64, so.
At Kinect, I never use the Kinect, but the PS4 also has the voice command support, and I never use it. I feel silly talking to a machine when I know I can do most of the stuff faster and easier with the controller. I'm not surprised that the Kinect has been unbundled from Xbone. Those who think they spend too much money will just as easily sell their Kinects to those who want them. I don't think it's an issue. Actually, that's a fantastic point. I'm going to come back to that when I'm done with this paragraph, but that's a fantastic point. Overall, it seems to me that motion controls are vastly underused, but there's probably a reason for it. Other than party games, I don't really find them that fun. Having said that, I played through Heavy Rain using the PS Move, and it wasn't all that bad. Still, it's a unique game which attempts to be as immersive as possible. So the brilliant bit is those who think they spend too much money will just as easily sell their Kinects to those who want them. There's going to be a multiple month period here between June and sometime in the fall when the Kinect standalone is not on sale. And so people who buy the Kinectless Xbox One, their only source for the Kinect, if they really want one, are going to be other Xbox owners. So that's going to be interesting. I'll be interested to see if there's suddenly like a black market and Kinects are being sold for $500 or something crazy.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
And you know, there's two really interesting points here that I just want to chime in about. And that's the first one is that, you know, noting that the Kinect really does kind of excel at only, you know, a kind of casual party game. Specifically, like, you know, you can help get, you know, it makes a little bit more sense for grandma to understand, you know, wave your arm to join in and play with, you know, play with the kids, you know, than it does a bunch of buttons. So I think that's a really interesting observation that I just wanted to call out. And secondly, I just like calling it the X-Bone. So fantastic.
You know,
we have the smartest listeners.
You know, we have the smartest listeners.
I wonder whatever happened to U-Star. I mean, that was going to be a great app that Kinect could do, in which you insert yourself into scenes for movies.
Yeah, I went nowhere. At Philips versus Nintendo, this is so bizarre, I don't even know where to start. Why the Wii U and not the Move or the Kinect, which seem to infringe on the patent even more? Does it have to do with the scanner you talked about or the nunchucks? Because that's still not clear to me. Didn't Philips sue Nintendo over a different patent many years ago, something about CDI?
I think that was about use of the characters, not, you know,
I think so, yeah.
The Mario and the Zelda characters, which ended up having some of the weirdest Zelda and Mario games that were ever produced.
At the question of the week, our question of the week last week was, what is your favorite educational video game? I don't believe I played that many educational games back in the day. I remember a math game featuring Disney characters and butterfly nets, but I don't even remember what platform that was on, Atari or Commodore. Need for Speed didn't teach me how to drive, Killzone didn't teach me how to kill, and Spelunky didn't teach me about exploring caves. I prefer games for their entertainment value, though I will have to look into the education genres when I have my own kids.
Ask me, who did teach you to kill then?
That's somebody. Yeah, the implication is there's somebody taught him how to kill.
Waka waka.
Anyways, we're gonna move on to the question. Go ahead.
Well, you know, isn't he from Russia? I mean, doesn't he have to hunt his own food?
No, I think he's from Eastern Europe.
I mean, you know, he might be a very, very well accomplished hunter.
One of the Baltic states.
I'm just saying.
Well, Paul here is from is that nationality actually?
That's true.
My family is from Ukraine. That is absolutely true.
So have you been following the news? How do you feel about all
of
that?
You know what? I not to get completely off topic, I've really tried, but it seems like a complicated issue that I always that I kind of struggle to understand. But my heart does go out to any Ukrainian person suffering under their government.
I just want things to settle down. I don't care how it settles down. I just want things to settle down.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to the question of the week, and the question of the week is related. What is your favorite party game? How about you, Paul?
You know, I've always kind of liked the Mario Party series. I mean, I don't own one anymore, but I just always found that those games were, you know, the mini games there were clearly thought out. You could just pick them up after one or two times of playing them. And you know, they retain their value when you want to go part with them, like I did.
How about you?
I mean, I think I only had the one for the Wii U.
Wait. You only had
for the Wii. I only had the one for the original Wii, and I realized it's sitting in my drawer, and nobody comes over to my house anymore because I moved. I have no friends.
Stop that. How about you, Paul?
You mean
Jordan? I just talked.
I'm going to go with the party game. But before party games was cool, there was Bomberman. Bomberman was the party game.
Yeah.
Absolutely the party game. And when I read the question of the week, I had to stop and think. And it's like, no, man, I fucking hate party games. Game, oh, wait.
Sit next to your friend.
Bomberman.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to go with that, criteria, then I'm just going to say Mule. Because that's another game which you sat next to your friends and you had the bidding and you had friendships ended and all that stuff going.
Well, I mean, if we're going to stretch the definition of party game and talk about friendships ending, I mean, nothing's a better party to me than being able to pick up and throw your friend for absolutely no reason while playing Chippendale's Rescue Rangers for the NES.
Oh, I thought you were
going to say just pick up your friend and throw him across the screen for no reason other than to be a jerk.
And Jordan's giving us a nice view of his kitty.
Yes. He's sacked.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, why is there... Oh, it's Paul Snow. I can't experience video calling because their device doesn't support it. Your device doesn't... Oh, you're calling for your phone, right?
Yes, I'm
oh, I'm glad I didn't say we're looking at Jordan's pussy. I mean, that would have been...
I would have had a few other things to say about that.
Anyway.
Starting with, speak for yourself, Mr. Falcon.
But, you know, another game that I was thinking of was called Cul-de-Sep Saga, which is basically a board game which you play with your friends on the side. So that's the question of the week. What is your favorite party game? Whether it's traditional, like Mario Party, or, oh boy, I forgot, Fusion Frenzy, or stuff like that. Or if it's just a game that you're sitting side by side with your friends and just, you know, cursing each other out because...
Blowing each other up with bombs.
Yeah, you know, I was never upset getting killed by bombs from friends. Cause it,
well, not only that, but I mean, in Bomberman, it was people would get so worked up and so frantic that typically what would happen is you'd end up blowing up yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast or the forums at gamingpodcast.net/forum or send your comments to fans@gamingpodcast.net. You can also check out our gaming news at Game Studios, your comments, subscribe to us on iTunes, and leave us some iTunes comments. By the way, something I almost forgot is that I'm getting a pass for tomorrow to see X-Men Days of Future Past. So,
oh, good for you. Let us know a letter rating.
My wife and I have tickets for the 10 o'clock show, so we will have to
tomorrow?
Compare notes.
I mean, on Friday?
Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And a congratulatory shout out to the current Greg superstar, Miss Bianca Del Rio. Woohoo!
Oh, yes, and I know her. She's
I was pulling for her. I'm really excited.
Yeah. So anyways, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Bye, Bonds.
And I'm gonna have to rate this either R or NC-17. I'm trying to figure out which.
Hey, we didn't say anything inappropriate. We used technical terms throughout.
That's not true, but okay.
I said fuck a couple of times.
Well,
don't you usually bleep out a fuck?
Damn it! Don't.
I mean, we use the proper clinical terms like vagina and vulva and.
Vulva makes me think it's a car. You know,
that's a Volvo, and that's just you.
I know. It's a joke.
I think using the current language settings that we did use in the podcast would still prevent us from being listed in the iTunes store.
No, actually,
probably. Because Apple.
Actually, that's set by the people who do the podcast.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, you know what? I guess I will slap an explicit for this particular episode.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, it doesn't hurt. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it'll hurt our listeners.
I just hope we didn't lose any listeners, or maybe we'll gain a few more.
I don't know. Personally, I'm starting to question what our numbers have been looking like over the last year or two.
They look the same as they've always been.
They went from four to six.
No, actually, we're getting to 2,000 hits a lot faster these days, so maybe we're gaining.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's nice. Okay, so Mr. and Mrs. Lund, have you read my novel yet, and why have you not commented on such things?
I have been working, and Jen was busy losing her job, so she has free time now.
Well, I'm actually interested in what she might think, because as a heterosexual but open-minded woman...
She is actually bi. She's not completely hetero.
Oh, well, I'm going to just, you know, let her have that for herself. I was concentrating on the open-minded part and thinking that she might want to read about gay heroes as opposed to lesbian heroes.
Right.
You know,
it strikes me as the kind of thing she might actually enjoy.
A transgender friend said that they were offended by the use of the word gypsy, saying it's derogatory.
Gypsy is derogatory. But, Roma is the correct term.
But you know,
and that depends what specific heritage you have.
That's true. That's true as well.
Yeah. Okay.
If you want to speak to your friend about it again, just feel free to mention that I bring that up in the book.